So this week is Parshas Metzora, and when there's a leap year, Parshas Metzora usually comes out Shabbos Hagadol. So what is the kesher with Parshas Metzora and Pesach? So the Arizal actually says a famous word that Pesach is really to be understood as Pesach, the mouth is able to speak, which is based on a Zohar. Zohar says that in Mitzrayim, the Dibur was in Golos. And when there was a Geula, the pshat is that the Dibur was taken out of Golos. So what does that mean? You know, there's with two levels we can understand this. There's perhaps the Kabbalistic understanding, and then there's the Poshit pshat. So let's try to understand what does it mean that the Dibur was in Golos. So we saw in the Sefer Imrei Boruch, he tells to the famous Gemara in Baba Kama. Gemara is talking about the Arba Ovis Nezikin. So Odom is called a Mave. And why is Odom called a Mave? Because the Pasuk says him to Boyin Boyin, right? That Omar Shoyma Osu Boyker, we got Loyleim to Boyin Boyin. That Mashiach will come if you daven for it. So an Odom is defined as a mavet, the one that talks, the one that makes requests from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? When Hashem created Adam, Targum Taiches, he created a Ruach Mamalala, a person with the power of speech. There's something integral to the human being is that he has the power of speech. That's basically the defining element. There's a Sefer, not the Kuntres HaSveikas written by the brother Tzoyis, there's another Kuntres HaSveikas by Tzoyis. In the Akdoma, he brings down from the Mari Muscato. I've seen this a couple of times before, but I don't know if he produced grape juice or whatever, but anyway, you know, he was an Adam Gadol, and he said, a Moir de Kazakh, he said, if a person would be able to go up to Shemayim and he would see the Malachim singing, and he would see the Tzvois HaShemayim and everything, he wouldn't have a tainik from it until he can come down and tell somebody what he saw. That would be a zikr tainik. Right? You know, you have to be able to share it with somebody. When a person can talk it out, that's the yesoid. So it could be that, I mean, this is in Reb Shapsi's Mahalach, that the word golos, zusant, you find that the Lashon of Goloi always means to reveal something, right? And to be Gala Oznecha, right? Boya says to Ploini Almoini, you know, so I said, Agala Oznecha, I'll reveal it to your ears. Or Giloi Aroyoi says revealing something. And so whenever you find the Lashon of Giloi, it's opening up, revealing something. Yet Golos is mashmah to close something. It's to take away that which is revealed. So when it comes to the freedom of expression, a person wants to be able to express himself and have a freedom of expression to be megala his pnimi, his dibur. When you're in Golos, you don't have that freedom of expression. You can't speak, right? You go to Russia before they open the Iron Curtain, was mamish. You couldn't talk. You had to be careful. Everything you said was mamish. And so, it could be that's the pshat, the dibur was in Golos. That's why they say paro is also the letters of pera, right? Same letters of Pera. So that's one pshat, that's one mahalach. But in a poshita level, it says in the pasuk, in the beginning of Moshe's experience in Mitzrayim, so he goes ahead, he kills a Mitzri, and the next day he breaks up a fight, and the Yid says to him, Halorgeni atoim kasher rak des a Mitzri. So Ayira Moshe was afraid, Vayom, he said, Ochein, oh, noida hadov. So Rashi says, "Vayorei Moshe doag loy al shiro b'Yisrael dal turin." He said, "Oh, the malshinim in klal Yisrael." So he says, "Ochei noida hadov and noida liyadovish isitomo lemachoti Yisrael mikol shivim umois liyos nirdim be'avoidis perach." So now I understand why they're in Golos, because they speak lashon hara. There's dal turin in klal Yisrael. So that was the siba that the Golos began, or one of the Sibas, why Klal Yisrael was in Golos. Moshe says, oh, so this is the pshat that the Dibur was in Golos to a certain extent. But if you take a look at the Yalkut Shemoyni says, towards the end of Parsha Shmois, it says that there were several reasons why Klal Yisrael was nigal from Mitzrayim. So it says that loynech shedu al loshen hara shenema v'sholu ishim ishchenta. A woman will borrow from her shechenta, which means that they would take from the Mitzrayim. Varhoya biyodim shnei mosachodesh. So when Moshe told us to them before everything started, so there was some Yidden who must have taken things already from the Mitzrayim. Ve'ein at moitzi ve'echem hem shehil shenachadeiru. Nobody ever said a word. So there were Yidden who took things earlier, and not one Yid said a word. And so you see from this Yalkut that they were misakin this chait of Lashon Hara, and with that they were able to leave Mitzrayim. So on one hand, there was a problem that there was a chisorin in their Lashon, and they were misakin that. And so now that there's a gula from Mitzrayim, all of a sudden the dibur is no longer in Golus, and now you can once again speak. And so comes out that the yontav of the Pesach is a mezunda inyan of Pesach. Now there's anything to speak. Pesach is leman pesaper. You should tell your children. The whole seder is hagodah to be magid. It's an inyan of using your mouth to accomplish great things. Called a marble of saper raises meshubach. That's what comes out. The opposite. That on the other hand, when you speak lashon hara, you're poigim in your lashon. Right? I had a miser once. I was in New York for my nephew's bar mitzvah, and I. Going back to Denver under friendly skies of United, and I'm waiting to drop off my luggage, and this is before the age of kiosks, and so when it was my turn, so they said next, and I go up to the counter, and I see everybody behind the counter is laughing. So I check if my zipper is open, and I check if my hat is on straight, and you know everything looks okay. So I say, what's so funny? So they said to me, we're not supposed to say next. You're supposed to say, can I help you, sir? So I'm going to the gate, and I decided, I got to find out what's so terrible about saying next. So I walk back to the counter. I said, can I ask you a question? What's so terrible about saying next? So they said, if we say next, we come across like Burger King or something like that. We are the friendly skies of United, so we have to say, can I help you, sir? So I said to myself, you see, it's an airline that's servicing millions of people. One word can destroy them. They can't say next. They have to say, can I help you, sir? Right? That's the way they're trained. And when they made a mistake, they laughed about it. They realized they messed up. So, you know, Allah is kama v'kama. We have a peh kodesh. We have to be very careful what you can mess up with the way that you speak. So it's a mori dikazak. So you see, in the avodah of the metzora, so he brought two birds. Right after the lokach lamitayr tzitziporim, right, one of them you shecht al mayim chayim, and then you mix it with the cedar and the hyssop and the shnitay las. And the other bird, after you dip the bird into the mayim, and then you throw it away, you let it fly away. So there are two birds. One bird is killed, and one bird continues its way. So the Sforim say it's keneged, this is what the Shemesh Shmuel says, it's keneged, the idea that on one hand, one bird represents not talking anymore. That's what you have to stop speaking Lashon Hara. The other bird says it's not enough, you can't just stop speaking. But you have to speak in learning. So one bird is let live, but keep on chirping. But now you have to chirp with Torah, right? Anyway, so marpa loshen eitz chayim, it says. What's the marpa for your tongue? Eitz chayim, speaking and learning. So a person has to know that the tikkun for loshen hara is not to talk. The tikkun for loshen hara is to talk the rei kedusha, things like that. And that's the yisoid. The Shem Shmuel brings down to the Avnei Nezer, his father, that he says over, what's the idea that a person can make a neder, that you have a koyach with your mouth to create an iser? Where does that koyach come from? So he brings down B'Shem Rabbeinu Yoina, that he says the peh is like a kli shoris. And if you shema your peh, it has a din of a kli shoris, and therefore it can shaf the chalois din. On the other hand, if you're not shema your peh, it's like a kli shoris that's tomei. and you have to be toivel it, and you have to give it, you have to toivel it when we shem and amishcha. So a person has to be very careful to maintain his koyach adibur, and the melo, we shomer a koyach adibur, so then we can go on. So that's the hemshich of Parshas Metzora to Pesach, is this idea of the gad etalavincha, the koyach adibur and amira, that is the result of having a peh kodesh with which you can imazmer. So I wanted to share some machshavos about the Haggadah, just in case you want to have something to say. So first of all,
something new to say.
So first of all, this idea of being magid, of saying over the Haggadah, just to see the koyach of saying over these things, that there was a maisa that the Rabbi Goyal Alkar brings out in his Haggadah. So he says that he heard this from Rav Menachem Stein, who's also a maggid in Eretz Yisrael. He was a bocher in a yeshiva. He was a regular bocher, but after his second year, could be second year Beis Medrash, he started to shvach him up, and basically he drifted away and he left the yeshiva. And if he went off the derech completely, he ended up in the army. And a few years later, Menachem Stein is walking down the street and he sees this guy's dressed like Mamash, a younger man, a black hat, the whole work. He says, "What's going on?" He says, "I was in the army and it was Rosh Hashanah. So the soldier said to me, you know, you were in Yeshiva, man, so tell us something about Rosh Hashanah." So I ended up telling them all the shmooze and I remember from Rosh Hashanah. Comes Yom Kippur, they say, "You are the yeshiva, tell us about Yom Kippur." I end up telling all the shmuzim that I heard in the yeshiva. Then I said to myself, I'm here in the army, and of all places, I have to bring back to my mind everything I learned in yeshiva. And I was, by saying it over, I was reading this oira to myself, you know, hamantik yadaber, right? And so I came back and now became frum again, and I'm back to being a koyel guy, and I'm a car of people now. So you see the koyach of Haggadah, just talking it out. Not only does it give over to your children, but it has to be mechazik you in your emunah. So we start off the Seder, and first of all, before you get to Magid, there's something called Yachatz, right? And you break the matzah in half. And you always have to go through the routine, which piece is bigger, which piece is smaller, and you put away the bigger piece, and you keep the smaller piece. But by the Hasidim, they say there's a Moradik of Musar over here. You're telling your children, the smaller piece, this is Olam Hazeh. This is small. And it's little. You're here for 70, 80 years, limited, it's small. The big piece, that's Olam Haba. And that's Tzofen, that's hidden away. The time will come when you'll have Olam Haba, and that's forever. And that's what's hidden away. That's a machshava to share. So then you get to Magid, and we say, Kol Dichvin Yesev Yehem. So Freitzich the Shiloh. You're opening the door. You're not opening the door, but you're announcing, whoever wants to come in can come in. Now, I don't know about everyone else. We're having, two of my daughters are coming with six kids. We don't have enough room. We're squeezing them into the table. We're hoping that the kids don't destroy the house, right? And I announcing, whoever wants to come should come, right? How do people do that? What is the pshat? So the Chasam Sofer says that if you take a look at the Seder, so first of all, you're wearing a kittel. White kittel, you're like the Kohen Gadol with Naibel Lefnim. And you have, in the Beis HaMikdash, you have Nesachim of wine. We're drinking four cups of wine. There'll be plenty of Nesachim on the table and on the floor that is wine. And then there was a Korban Mincha in the Beis HaMikdash, and you have, the Korban Mincha was made with matzah. You have your share of matzah. In the Beis HaMikdash, when the Kohenim ate, they dipped what they ate into different types of dips. We have all types of dips by the Seder. We're not talking about volcano dip and stuff like that. But we have all sorts of dips by the table. And so, and then you have, they sang Shiras Vishishbochis by the Korban Pesach. We sing Shiras Vishishbochis. Says, when you think about it, your house is like a shtickle of Beis HaMikdash by the Seder night. So the Beis Hamikdash, there was room for everyone, right? Right? Your house by the Seder night is a Beis Hamikdash. There'll be room for everybody, and there'll be enough food for everybody. Just if you, whoever walks in, they'll be okay. You'll find it. You'll find an Eitzah. You'll find a place. So it's like it'll work out. So that's you have to know. That's the machshavah, and it's again to the Seder. Now, so we get into the Seder, and you say Kalamar Belusapa Reza Meshuvah. So, you know, Maisa Rabbi Loza Rabbi Tarfin Rabbi Yeshua Rabbi Akiva Rabbi Loza Ben Azayish Mesub Nei Brak. So he asked the Kasha. All the Tanoim had a Seder, all the Amoroim had a Seder, all the Goinim had a Seder. So Vosep is this Seder, they say, they were the ones who were the Sabbath, but it's time called Alaylas. I mean, you didn't do that all the time. So Rabbi Yashiv says, he says, Klal Yisrael went from one moment to the next, from the 49th level of Tumah, till Mamish becoming Ama Nivchor, and the next thing you know, they come out on the 49th level of Kedusha. How's that Shayach? So, we say, take a look at who sat at the Seder. First, Rabbi Lozer ben Hurkanus. So if you look at the Pirkei de Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Lozer ben Hurkanus was 28 years old. He hadn't learned yet how to say Kriya Shema and Birkas HaMazon. He's standing there crying, and his father says, what's the matter? He says, I want to learn Torah. He says, you're 28, accept your faith. It's already too late, and you're in the state. So listen, you know, you'll get mad, you'll have a child, you'll send your child to yeshiva, but listen, what can we do, right? That's it. So he keeps on crying till Elionovi comes. Elionovi says, what's the matter? He says, I want to learn Torah. He says, oh, go to Rav Yechon ben Zakkai. So he sends him, like, you know, you would think, that a kid can't read and doesn't know how to read, you don't send him right away to Brisk. But he sends him straight to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, what do you know? Nothing. So he teaches him how to bench. He says, okay, go home. He starts crying. He says, I went on. Anyway, kids are a miser. He becomes Rabbi Loza ben Hurkanus, who fought with all the Tanoim. He made the river flow backwards, made the walls of the... You see what a 28-year-old who hadn't learned a word, he didn't know how to bench, how he was able to make himself into a good Lador. You see how the Klai Yisrael become so great? Take a look at Rabbi Lozer ben Azayah. The next one was Rabbi Tarfin. Rabbi Tarfin was tremendously wealthy. He could have spent his whole life, you know, patching with his wealth. He became the great Rabbi Tarfin, right? Then you have Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva didn't start learning until he was 40. His wife had to convince him to go to Cheder. He was embarrassed, right? So she convinced him to go, and he became Rabbi Akiva. So, again, I had a person 40 years old in America, you're over the hill at 40, right? You know, 40 years old, you're ready. And Rabbi Akiva started his whole career at the age of 40, and he became, Moshe Rabbeinu was jealous, not jealous, Moshe Rabbeinu said, you had a Rabbi Akiva, what are you going to do her through me? It's like, right, the person can vox voice. Rabbi Lozer ben Azariah was 18 years old. He became the Nasi of Klal Yisrael. Overnight, he grew a beard. And so today, a guy in the Muyetzes Gdoli Gator, you got to be at least 85, 89 years old before you can even hit that. And he's 18 years old, a little young kid. He's not straight out of high school. And he's the Gadol. He's the Nasi Yisrael. See, the koyach that a person can achieve great things where it's least expected. So we talk about these people at this Seder to recognize how a person can steig and grow from where you were to where you could become. Nobody should feel it's not shayach by me. Now the Haggadah goes on and talks about mitchil oiv de'avay dezor hoya v'usein v'mitzrayim. So you have to know what is the pshat. We celebrate the Seder. We make a whole big thing out of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So when we say, listen, Rabbi Nishon, you sent us there, take us out. You know, too many Shkei Tovus, right? You know, what are we celebrating? Hashem took us down to Mitzrayim. This was all planned out. And he took us out. Thank you very much. Right? You know, what are we making a big deal about it, right? So the Teretz is, Mitchila Oivdei Avodah Zarah Yom HaSein. First of all, in our genes, there was a Shtikal Avodah Zarah, right? It goes all the way back. Terach was in the Getchka industry, you know, that's what he did for a Parnosa. and all the way back is Zayda probably did it. So it was the family business selling Getchkes, right? And so Avraham Avinu started up with him. He wanted to have him killed, his own son. He threw him into the fire, right? So, and Avraham Avinu also, the Taina was, we said, Bamo'eda. There were sibas why Hashem needed us to experience Golus Mitzrayim, because by experiencing Yetzias Mitzrayim and the Nisim that took place and recognizing gave us the level of Emuna that today we're sitting here talking about it. That wouldn't have been Shayach if not for Yetzias Mitzrayim. Right? We would have disappeared in history like everybody else disappears in history. The fact that we're here talking about Yetzias year after year after year and waiting for Mashiach and we don't give up, we don't... That's all because we went to Yetzias Mitzrayim that created within us this level of emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we maybe don't understand it, but it's there, it's intuitive in every year. Why? Because our ancestors went to Yetzias Mitzrayim and Hashem understood this is what we need to develop within ourselves the genes or whatever of emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu to that degree. And so this is the Yesod HaDvarim. Now it says that Baruch Shem Haftachos LeYisrael Shakadosh Baruch Hu Chishev HaSakeitz. Kadosh Baruch Hu Toposhev Sharechem took off 190 years. Where did he get the 190 years? So the Medrash says that Sarah, when she became pregnant, so she davened Hashem, he says, 400 years, my child, you know, my Einiklach have to be there for 400 years. So Hashem said, okay, I tell you what, you're 90 years old till you had children. Your husband was 100, will take off 190 years, right? So, and the 190 years have taken off from the 400 to equal 210, right? And that was why they would, so Hashem said, why you're 90 Yiddish? This for 90 years, you were makar of people to Yiddishkeit, you didn't have your own children. Avraham for 100 years was doing that without his children. He did it, mamish l'shem shemayim. For those 190 years, you're getting off the hook, right? You see that somebody who does something, mamish, totally l'shem shemayim, Kesh Baruch Hu doesn't forget. There was a maisa in Bnei Brak. There was a couple. Okay, now we had this maisa with Zikol. Shalevsi already puts that maisa to shame, but this was a man who was 60, his wife was 50, they had no children since they got married, and suddenly they had a child. It was a moivadik asimcha. He's done it before that. People are married 30 years or whatever. So what did they do? So they lived in Bnei Brak, and the street they lived on, I forgot, I think the street was called Chevron, I'm not sure. There were cars that drove them, and they felt, it's not possible, we should have cars driving on Shabbos through the street in Bnei Brak. So they went to the government, and they said, they petitioned, why should there be cars driving in Bnei Brak? They said, listen, what we can do about it. The only eitza is if you get every single person that lives on that street to sign a petition, we can stop them. So they went ahead and they worked on it, and they worked on it. And there were many people in the city that refused to sign, but they patiently betzach by them, and they befriended them, and they makarev them. And finally, after 3 years, they got every single person that had a house on that street to sign. They went to the city. The city looked at it, and they said, we're sorry, but the signatures are 3 years old. It's a little bit too late. You got to do it all over again. So they didn't give up. They went back. They re-signed the people who signed. New people had come. Old people had moved out. They went and went through the whole thing. They finally got it. They went back and they closed off the street. And shortly after, they had a baby. Right? See, they mamish were moiser nefesh, for they felt kedusha of Shabbos, and they were zeicher. They did it totally l'shem shemayim. Hashem gave them a baby. So that's a maisa, you see. The same thing, Hashem Chishev HaSakeitz, right? Now, one or two more verta, it says that Klal Yisrael came to Mitzrayim, so by Yogashem Bim Sei Ma'ot, right? And then it says that they were Mitzuyonim Shom. What does it mean, they were Mitzuyonim Shom? So, Pashas, we know, Meshino Eshmom, Es Malvushim, Es Toshoinim. So, it's interesting, they didn't change their clothing. Yet they were oibed of oibed zorba, right? So Mishtel Zuchfor, this yeshivish guy, right? He's dressed up in full garb, right? He's going to church, right? You know, what are you doing in church? What do you mean? Oibed zorba, right? It's cool. So why are you looking like yeshivish? I'm not going to give up my yeshivish guy. Right? You know, it's what is the pshat? That they were fighting a battle. they weren't going to give up the defining who they are, right? We nichshal, but I'm not. I am what I am, right? I have my nisyonis, and I can't win the battle yet, but I'm still, by definition, they wouldn't see on Hashem. That's the way they were. I mean, that's the reason there was a rule. They wanted to blive Yidden, right? Like the Maisa with Cardinal Mendel. I didn't tell you the story, Amol. There was a Yid, whose name was Mendel Vieder. And he was a very, very smart kid. He was a yeshiva man. Brilliant, mamish, tremendous Talmud Chacham. But his Rebbe always told him, you're Balgaiva, right? Work on yourself. But he was just a big Balgaiva. And he assumed that, he was God's gift to mankind. His father was Nifter. It was pushed to him, they would ask him to be the Rav in his city. But they didn't. He was very upset. He decided, if the Jews don't want me, I'll go to the Goyim. He went to the church, converted to Christianity, and he became a Galuch. And he was very successful. Mom is so successful. He became a bishop or whatever. He became whatever the next Madrega is, a rook or a bishop, I'm not sure. So anyway, he went up to the next Darga. And, he said things connected to Yidden, whatever. Mamish was, and he was popular, and he was a superstar in the church. He finally became a cardinal, and he was known as Cardinal Mendel. And it's getting close to the time of the Holocaust, and he starts to have a shtickle, he sees what's happening, and his Rebbe comes to him in a dream. Now, he didn't realize his Rebbe was Nifter. The Rebbe comes to him in a dream and tells him, Mendel, you better do tshuva before it's too late. And so he finds out that it's true, his Rebbe was Nifter. And he was in touch with the Skolena Rebbe. Golda got in touch with the Skolena Rebbe. And he asked him, he wants to leave the church, what should he do? He says, just disappear, right? Can I take any of the getchkas with me? They're worth money. He says, no, it's awesome. So he left everything behind, disappeared, and he left the church. Came back to the Jewish community. He went through the Holocaust and came back to Yiddishkeit. And the Yidden knew who he was, and they didn't accept him very readily. He got a lot of... But the Skolena Rebbe was Makarev and Mechazakim. He went there with Yisrael. He lived out his life as a Frumma Yid. So one day, the Skolena Rebbe says to him, can I ask you one stupid question? You became a cardinal. Why didn't you change your name? Mendel? Cardinal Mendel? Change your name to Marcus or, whatever. Mendel? So he says, the emphasis is, I never wanted to change my name because I always felt I would once again be Mendel Vieder. Vieder means again, right? I'll be Mendel Vieder. I'd once again be Mendel. I didn't want to let go. This is the assignment of over here. They were Mitzuyanim, they didn't let go. They wanted this. There was a Meister recently that happened. This is a story I saw. It's in Haggadah. That says that there was a yeshiva man. He learned in Lakewood. For whatever reason, he was in Venezuela. Maybe he was from South America. So he's in the street in Venezuela. His mom is dressed like a yeshiva man with a black hat, a black jacket. And another yid meets him, college guy meets him. He says, what's with that dress? What are you? So he starts explaining to him what it means. The hat is the Keser Torah, and the jacket represents we dress in a royal fashion. And he's standing on the street corner talking for an hour and a half. And this guy being so blown away by this, decides he wants to go and find out where the yeshiva is. Says, which yeshiva is the yeshiva? Says, Lakewood, New Jersey. So anyway, so one day this guy decides, I'm leaving Venezuela, I'm going to go to America to a yeshiva. And so he comes across the border, and turns out his visa was, whatever he had, was really outdated. So they're going to send him across the border. He's trying to sneak across the border with an outdated visa. He can't do it. So a black guy comes and he's going to take them across the border, whatever they do. I don't know. Nowadays, probably doesn't work though anymore, right? But so, guy says to him, as he's driving him back, he says to him, why were you coming to America? He said, I was going to go to a yeshiva. The guy says, oh, turns around, and he starts driving him in another direction. He says, where are we going? He says, I'm taking you to a lawyer. He can fix your visa, and for $1,000, he'll get you in. Don't worry. Takes him to the lawyer, goes in, takes care of his passport, of his visa, whatever it is, and he gets out. He says, okay, now I'm taking you to the train station. I'll get a train. I'll take you to Lakewood. He says, why are you doing this? He says, I'll tell you the truth, right? I was a policeman, and one day it was in New York or whatever it was, and I'm in the street, and all of a sudden I see some black guy attack a Hasidic Yid, and he grabs away his briefcase. He starts running. The Chassid starts chasing him, but the guy was too fast for the Chassid. But I was in good shape. I caught the guy, and I took back the briefcase, right? And he goes back to the Chassid. The Chassid says, thank you. How can I thank you? He says, I'm just doing my job. And I says, yeah, but, you know, there was a lot of money in the briefcase. You know, how can I thank you? So at that time, my wife was, for whatever reason, in jail because of some trumped-up charges against her, whatever. I needed $2,000 to get out of jail. I said, my wife is in jail. I can't need $2,000. So the guy peeled off $2,000 and gave it to me. So I said to him, how can I thank you? He said, you don't have to thank me. I appreciate what you did. But if you want to thank me, one thing, if you ever see a Jew in trouble, help him out. I said, well, how will I help him out? He said, just let's say a Jew wants to go to yeshiva. You'd help him. So I've been waiting for this to happen. And here you are. You want to go to yeshiva. I'm at your service. And he drives him to the train station. He sends him his way to Lakewood. The guy is now living in Yerushalayim, married, from whatever, 14 children, kids. And everything is wonderful. So that's the Yisait HaDvarim. So one last machshava. It says by the in the parsha of the Korban Pesach. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "V'kocha toichlu v'isay mosneichem chagurim nalechem beraglechem makelchem beyedchem." This is the way you should eat it. Your belt should be tied. Your shoes should be, your feet should be in your shoes, and your sticks on your hands. So the Belzer Rebbe asked a kasha. Pasuk says, "Na'alechem beraglechem." It really should be raglechem benalechem. Your shoes should be in your feet. What's the pshat? Na'alechem beraglechem. Right? Doesn't make sense, right? So, Reb Shishin Pinkus says a vort. That it could be, this is the Belzer Rebbe, I think, is in the text, but he's matim and shtickel. He says, you find that, he says, if you go to the yeshiva in Ponovich, into the base medrash, there's a swinging door. And the door swings open, so it swings open, let's say, a few feet. It swings back, also a few feet. But it's on a hinge, so it goes back and forth. You figure there's about 1,000 bochum learning in the base medrash. And each bocher probably goes in and out about 10 times a day, right? So, you know, you go in for Shacharis, you go out after Shacharis. You go in for First Seder, you go out after First Seder. You go in for Mincha, you go out after Mincha. You go in for Second Seder, you go out, you go in for Night Seder. So if you have 1,000 people going in and out the door, so you have 10,000 times the door swinging back and forth. So the door is traveling enough distance each day that you can go from Bnei Barak to Yerushalayim. But the door ain't going no place because it's stuck in the same place, right? It says in the pasuk that kedelas alatzir came otzel yoshin, something like that. Like a door swings on its hinges, that's the way a lazy person stays in bed. What does it mean? The lazy person wants to move forward, but every time he moves forward, he doesn't move backward because he can't get himself to overcome his atzlus. So he wants to move forward, but he can't bring himself to break through the atzlus. So you go forward, you go backward, you go forward, you're stuck, right? We get into habits, and as much as we try, our habits, you know, leave us stuck. So the Belzer says, this is the pshat. A na'al means a lock. Ragleichem also means what you're rugil to, your hergelis, what your regilis. Is now leichem ragleichem, put a lock on your regilis. Try to close up that habit that you have and get rid of it. And then you can go forward, right? You're ready to leave Mitzrayim. Everyone has their personal Mitzrayim. You want to leave your personal Mitzrayim, put a lock on your habit, on your ragleichem, on your regilis, and move forward. Go forward in life. Don't hold yourself back. You have to be able to go forward. At the same time, when you go forward, you have to be able to hold yourself back from doing the wrong things, right? And that's the Yaakov Galinsky asked the Kasha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avram, said to Moshe. Moshe said that with which schus are they going to leave Mitzrayim? So Hashem said, Tavnet Olokim Alohor Hazeh, that they'll get the Torah. They don't need any schusim. The schus is they're going to get the Torah. So he asked the Kasha, how come it says that at Eirun the area, you had no schusim, so you got to have, you had to have Korban Pesach and Bris Milah, that the Mela, you know, the Maya Chayib, the Maya Chayib, so you needed the Dam Milah and Dam Pesach. Aye, what did he need it for? Hashem said, Tavin is Holokim Ahorazeh. So he said he had this Kasha, and one day it struck him, he got on the bus, and this says near the bus driver, that Nahag Bedok is Habalumim. So he asked the driver, what are Blumim? So the driver says, the Blumim are brakes. You got to check the brakes before you go out, because if the brakes don't work, it can be a serious problem. So he says, oh, this is the pshat. Avadi Givist, the Yisoyed Advorim is Hashem said, they don't need, the schus is they're going to get the Torah. But you have to, you won't go on a journey, you have to have make sure the brakes are working. Korban Pesach represented, I'm not going to imitate the Goyish event. The world has its ugly disorder, it's whatever it is. You have to be able to say, that's not my world. And Bris Milah is saying, I'm going to control my guf. There's Taivus, there's Nisyoinus. I'm putting a brake on my guf. Right? So the pshat is, you go to Har Sinai, I'll give you the Torah. That's what it's all about. But you have to have breaks. You have to be able to hold yourself back. You have to be able to say, I can't do certain things. And when they have that ability to press on the brakes, say, Dos nisht, this is what I need, that's the way you can go right there in life. So those are Shomach Shabbos about the Seder. To bring the Korban Pesach this year. And Mikabel Pnei Mashiach. Thank you.